We have apologies from Councillor Kevin House, and we send our condolences to Kevin and his family. There are no other apologies received. We are all here. Acknowledgement of country. I begin today by acknowledging the Palaetua and Panihia past peoples, the traditional owners and custodians of the land on which we gather today, and I pay my respects to elders past and present. I extend that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples here today. As advised, the people attending this session should note that audio and visual recordings are being made of the meeting. All persons attending the meeting are to be respectful of and considerate towards other people attending the meeting, and language and conduct at the meeting that could be perceived as offensive, defamatory or threatening to a person attending the meeting or listening to the recording is not acceptable. So moving on to the confirmation of the minutes, which is on page 7 of the agenda. The council receives and confirms the minutes of the last ordinary council meeting held. Some would like to move, some would like to second, please. Councillor Cronshaw as the mover, and that was Councillor Labor as the seconder. Thank you. Any conversation, discussion, councillors? If not, put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye, raise your hand. That's unanimous, thank you. Declarations of interest. Are there any declarations of interest from councillors?
Yes, there are, Mayor. We have a declaration of interest from Councillor Dudman and Loder and the Deputy Mayor, all relating to item 16.3, community grants, and a declaration from Councillor Sinfu relating to 16.4, which is a request to attend a conference.
Thanks, Jim. Any other declarations, councillors, before we move on? No. Council workshop report, which is on page 8, shows council's last meeting of the workshop. The page for me, Mayor and Council reports, is on there. Council announcement and acknowledgements. Are there any other council acknowledgements? Council Loder.
Thank you, Mayor. Yes, I've got a couple of things to add. Both Councillor Dudman and myself attended the Great Western Tiers Tourism Association AGM on the 8th of October. I participated in another Australian Local Government Women's Association masterclass on the 9th of October, and this Saturday just gone, Councillor Dudman and I attended the Mole Creek Progress Association Trivia Night, and hat trick, we took out the win again.
Congratulations.
Thank
you. Councillor Sinfu, your mic's off. Tom, thank you.
Thank you. I attended the additional towards there, the Carrick Hall Committee meeting last, on the night of the last council meeting, and also the Blackstone Heights Community News Association meeting, and I also went to the Great Western Tiers Tourism Association meeting, networking meeting event at Quambie Estate, and most recently I attended the Wynyard Tulip Festival on Saturday, which was exciting because it included a helicopter ride, and the scenery up there was amazing, and given the weather event that we had and shared with them the day before, they did an excellent job of having the event open, and so yes, slightly outside the area, but with noting.
Okay.
Thank you.
Councillors. Moving on to petitions, which is on page 11. No petitions were received for this meeting. Are there any from the gallery? Take that as no. Community representations. No community representations were received for this meeting. Are there any from the gallery? No. We'll move on to public question time. So I'm just going to go back a little bit, spiel to let you know what's happening. So public question time during the meeting, a minimum of 15 minutes is available, and it's set aside for members of the public to ask two questions with or without notice. We will be timing those, and little dingers there. I'll try, and if anybody asks a question at 2 minutes and 30 seconds, I'll let you know they've got 30 seconds left to wrap up. So we'll move on to public question time. So are there any questions from the public? If so, there is a microphone up there that somebody will hopefully...
Tom,
thank you, Anthony. So if you have your name, and yeah, welcome.
My name is Stephen Gregory. I'm representing the Westbury Manship at this space. Okay. I'd like to start by thanking Matthew Millwood and Brendan from the Depots Department for all the assistance that they've been giving the shed, both as a shed and their contribution to the annual show, which I'll cover later. Oh, sorry.
You're up.
Yeah. Land titles, which has been the hold-up for the men's shed, they've finally been located at a solicitor's in Devonport. The solicitor's Temple Smith solicitors, and it seems that in 2020, with the boundary adjustments for the showgrounds, the titles somehow got sent to the Crown Solicitor and Temple Smith to finalise the adjustments of it. Our solicitor's now writing to Temple Smith to ask for the land titles. Once they come back, which we hope is this week, they'll then be forwarded with the rest of the package into Lands Titles Office, and we expect another 4 weeks after that. So before we go anywhere, we're 6 weeks away before we get the land titles. The chain of custody at the moment, I'm in two minds as to whether to try and chase that down or just give it a flick and don't find out. But for the Show Society, I need to find out how those titles either got to Devonport or got to the council to go to Devonport. I don't know where it is at the moment. I've had a request in from the solicitor in Devonport, but haven't had an answer yet as to who actually gave them the titles. Second point is the Council Infrastructure Division recently advised that the swale drain at the front of the showgrounds, they don't think that's fit for purpose to take our water off the roofline. We had a meeting and they couldn't give me a solution. The chairman couldn't give me a solution, but told me I needed a civil engineer to design the water to come off the roof to go into the gutter. It now seems that it's going to cost me between $1,750 and $2,000 to tell me I need a 2,000 litre water tank to run off the roofline. Due to the delays in the land title and other processes, the builder for the shed is now unavailable to start until probably March next year. We're not sure how long the build will take. And if the weather's fine, it could take a week, could take 2 weeks. Therefore, I need to know whether the depot is still going to be available to us April-ish. I can't put the time on it at the moment. But he's had to go and get more work because we keep delaying times and all this. So that's where that stands. As well as going through the build process, the main chair this year has taken over coordination of the Westbury Show. So what that includes is, first of all, contacting 42 vendors to see if they're available. The whole process per vendor is 6 emails and at least 2 phone calls. Then once we get that, we have to consider the size, power requirements, layout, all the site and everything else on it. We also have to coordinate food licences back to the council so that can happen. Arrange toilets and rubbish, power distribution, the football club to manage parking, all those sorts of things. So the volunteer hours on this, just to mention, is quite considerable. That's without the Show Society's volunteers having to mow the lawns, prepare it. They'll be holding a working beat towards the start of the show in the next couple of weeks. If the depot is available, then that's all I have. Unless anyone's got any questions for me on the mention.
It's not a question and answer session, I'm afraid. So thank you for your statement and the questions, and I'll pass over to Jim if there's anything to add to that.
Probably the only thing I'll say, Steve, is just for the titles here, I did look into the title issue. I can't remember, I don't think we spoke, maybe an email, but the last trace the council had of that was when the titles were collected by the Westbury Show Society in January 2011, from memory. And so your point there about the titles going to Temple is news to me. So thanks for looking into it and the work that you've been doing, because it sounds as though you've been doing a fair power of work there with the Menshed, and it's credit to you and the group.
Is this the forum to do an update, or how's the best way to do this?
You turn me on. No, probably...
there's a deputation section.
Right, there you go.
There's a deputation section which the Mayor touched on earlier in our agenda. So if you're aware of a meeting coming up, if you just contact us, we'll make sure you're listed to be able to give that deputation as an update rather than in question time today.
Point of order, Mayor. Sorry, I'm not entirely sure if the question was answered regarding whether the words would be available.
Matthew, would you like to... We'll
talk.
Yeah, we'll take that one on notice and we'll talk to you. So thanks for the update, because a lot of us sitting here probably don't realise what's been happening with the show and the showground, so appreciate that. Thank you.
All right. My second phase is now as president of the Garden Club.
Thank you. Yep.
I have two questions, and again, we're sorry that the questions are without notice, but we've only recently had information on this. Council recently wrote to the Garden Club in September, which clearly indicates there's an intent not only to repurpose the supper room, but also the historic town hall complex into staff office areas. With this new information, is it correct? And will the council consult with the wider community on now the use of the town hall as well as the supper room?
Yep, absolutely.
Yep, the answer is yes, we are considering that, Steve. I'll have a look back. You phoned up on behalf of the Garden Club in April this year to inquire about bookings for this season's show, so September and February. Yep, and I phoned you back and spoke with you at that time and provided the indication that the September event would be good to plan for and proceed with, but the February event was unlikely at this stage to be able to be available. I was since contacted the week after that by another member of the Garden Club, and I spoke with them and provided them with the same update, and they advised me that you had provided an update within the group, so that was good as well. I received an email from the secretary of the Garden Club more recently, provided a response to them. And then I think it was a couple of weeks ago perhaps, I sent a letter to the secretary also to provide them with a bit more of background around that and a request to catch up for a meeting and discuss because the Garden Club was keen to have the February event at the same venue. So we'll just need to talk about the prospects of that and get an update about our timeframe that we're working through ourselves. So are they being considered for operation needs? Yes, they are. There's a greater need for additional floor space for council business. It has already been the case for the last 5 years. Council recognised that in the 2023 budget, provided some funding in order to try and address that. And we're now attempting to deliver on that so that we can continue to deliver all the services that our community expects on a daily basis. So, yeah, we're working through that and look forward to the conversation with the Garden Club.
Thank you. The second question leads on for that, and that is the 2024 to 34 strategic plan vision includes we can continue to grow as a region, welcoming family and businesses. With the expected future population growth in Meander Valley and therefore work increase for the council, is the current consideration for the supper room for an increased office space design for the future or simply for the current shortfall? And what other options were available to the council?
So the council's been considering that, considered it as our August workshop, our September workshop. We've been looking at a whole range of options that involves potentially additional building space, but I guess at the moment we're looking at keeping the cost to our community down, conscious of the capacity of people to pay within our community with their property rates and making best use of the facilities that we have in Westbury. We have the Westbury Rec Ground, the Westbury Function Centre we constructed about 8 years ago. We have the Sports Centre. And we have the King Street Depot. We're building, just took ownership of Valley Central Depot. So there's a whole range of areas that we're utilising. We're making sure that we're utilising them to the best of our ability and for their best purpose. So that's a whole range of things. You're specifically about whether it's catering for current needs. Yes, it's only catering for the current need. It's not providing for an additional 10 workstations. If we get 10 new employees, nothing like that. It's only meeting our current requirements of our operational activities.
Thank you.
I'm Karen McKenzie, and I'm Secretary of the Westbury Garden Club. I had two questions. The first one, is the proposed development of the council office space into the supper room and the town hall, is that funded in this financial year or will it be funded during the next financial year?
So there is previous funding approved to achieve additional floor space for our operational needs, accommodating our employees with a suitable environment. So there is current funding available in our approved budgets. Whether or not that is enough will be determined by what the final decision is of council. So council will consider a decision and a budget, I expect, if required, at a future point in time. But there is previously approved funding there that we have to access to achieve some additional floor space.
Thank you. And the second question, whilst Meander Valley Council has said it believes regular users of the town hall and the supper room can be accommodated elsewhere, are council and the councillors aware that at least two of these regular users do not have any alternative accommodation? That's the West Regatta Club, obviously, being the secretary. Any forced exclusion from the town hall and the supper room would be to an inappropriate site and would incur considerable additional costs, and ultimately this could mean that after 60 years of successful flower shows in Westbury at the town hall and supper room, there may be no more flower shows for the community and visitors to Westbury.
I welcome the Garden Club meeting with me and discussing that with me. I guess I'm aware that the Garden Club hasn't always operated out of the town hall and supper room. I think previously they operated out of the Uniting Church. When I had spoken with a member of the Garden Club earlier in 2025, they said that there had been other venues considered, such as the showgrounds, the Baptist Church, I believe it was. I suggested perhaps the Sports Centre and Function Centre as being alternatives. I also recently spoke with a member of the Garden Club and suggested that the afternoon teas that are being held in the supper room could potentially be held at the RSL. A member of the RSL came and spoke with me at our community engagement session, and they were quite open-minded to that. I think there are a range of alternatives. We haven't formed a decision yet. But we would certainly like to see the two shows continue into the future. We think it's a great community benefit, and we believe that there is a way to accommodate all parties, and we'd like to see what that looks like.
I answer that.
With a question, potentially. It's not a debate, Carol.
No, I know. Perhaps we could discuss that at our...
I got to say, the next... Thank you.
Have a good...
Thank you.
Any other questions from the floor? No? Thank you. Thanks for the questions. Obviously, there's some community things to be talked about. So, John has made a commitment to talk to the relevant groups. So. Thank you. All right. Councillor question time. Councillor questions with notice. There were none, I don't think. And then councillor questions without notice. Are there any councillor questions without notice from councillors? Councillor Rader.
Thank you, Mayor. There was actually a question with notice from me in the agenda.
My apologies.
That's okay. And the question was about Westbury Town Common flood mitigation work, and I have a question without notice regarding that as well. So further to my question with notice in today's agenda about Westbury Town Common flood mitigation work, I note that Tas Water has advised that they will undertake the necessary work over the next 4 years, but no date has been set for the work to start. This situation is causing undue stress each and every weather event that threatens or causes flooding for the neighbours around the Westbury Town Common. It is impossible to anticipate how many weather events might occur between now and in 4 years' time. Can we write to Tas Water and ask for a commencement date and urge them to prioritise this work? And since becoming a councillor, Matthew and I have had many discussions about this, and I really appreciate that he has seriously gone into bat for our community, but I just feel it's just getting beyond a joke, really.
Yeah, thanks, councillor. We will certainly take that on notice. I think it is 3 years ago to the day that we had the major floods in the Meander Valley. 2022, so Matthew's going to go to the end of the table and respond. Thank you, Matthew.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Matthew, Director Works. Through you, Mr. Mayor. Matthew, Director Works. Look, thanks, Councillor, for the further question. I appreciate it has gone on for a long time. It has become, obviously, a point of anxiousness with community members around what the next rain event could bring. Certainly from our perspective, we've been in regular contact. Unfortunately, you know, we've been working with Tas Water for an extended period since originally the 2016 flood event, and work was done in 2018, as in the agenda. Unfortunately, there's been a change. The ball got dropped, and it's no one's fault within Tas Water. There's been a change of personnel through the business, like a lot of businesses, and the traceability and some of the commitments and things probably weren't at the priority stage that we felt they were a couple of years ago. So we're continuing to work with them. I believe that, I mean, we've been writing to them, so it hasn't been conversation. I mean, it's been email correspondence that's recorded backwards and forwards. And I would trust, and I said this off the record some weeks ago, that within the short time frame, we should have a firm position on a commitment from them. I understand that they will commit to the work. It was originally a 5-year program that was going to start last year. It didn't commence last year. They've now said that they've looked at they've got quotes. They're looking at, from a budget perspective, that it will be a 4-year program, so they're keeping to an overall delivery timeline, but obviously condensing that into a 4-year program. The person that I've been having dialogue with was unable to provide a timeframe, and she was actually going on leave, but she said the commitment would, she followed up on her return with a position to hopefully lock in a forward commencement date. The original WEED management plan indicated that they would like to do work across winter, spring period. So we're still, I'm saying we're out of the winter, we're into the spring well and truly, heading towards the summer now. So we would hope that we see some work this financial year, but I would hope in the coming weeks I'll have a firm position that I can advise council on.
Thank you, Matthew. And to follow up a council lady's question, we have written to Taswater in the past, making them aware of the issue, and we will happily write again, council lady, to prompt them. Any other questions, councillors? Councillor Temple.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. As you mentioned earlier, you've been away. And I was wondering if you saw anything in your travels, which were extensive, that we should emulate or copy, or infrastructure that we should have or contemplate. What were the highlights that may pertain to council?
Thanks for your question, councillor. I won't go into my trip away as far as that goes, but I guess I did send back a notice board that I saw at Kalbarri regarding them coming second in their Tidy Town event, which I thought would be good for our visitor centre at Deloraine to put out. I did see lots of towns in Western Australia that had an extreme amount of money spent on beautifying their townscape. Probably a little more extravagant than what we're doing up in the middle of Westwick at the moment, but I think it's horses for courses, so it's probably not the forum before we do to bring that forward. Maybe in a workshop, councillor, I will let you know for some of the positive things that I saw. Also some negative things, but I will say that travelling across four states, we're doing pretty well with me, but always proud to be there at the end. Thank you for the question. Any other questions, councillors? Councillor Burr.
Thank you, Chair. My first question relates to it has crossover with the first planning matter that we're dealing with, or the only planning matter we're dealing with today at Blackstone Heights, and it is, but it's broader than that, and it's essentially asking, will council have a look at the possibility of doing a boundary adjustment with West Tamar Council in terms of taking over responsibility for the inlet on Trevallon Lake? In my time on council, it's the second occasion now that I can think of where we've had an application that's had to be dealt with by both us, Yarra Valley Council, and West Tamar Council, and I can see the potential for more occasions occurring in the future in terms of boat ramps and other associated work, and I'm just thinking that it would simplify, as complex as the boundary adjustment might be, that it might be for the good of everyone going forward that it were only being dealt with by one council. And in the particular agenda item, we end up with two pieces of land that'll be on our side of the lake that were previously water and will in the future be land, and so complicating who's responsible for that going forward. I know they're only very minute slices of land, but I'm just wondering if we can workshop or look in going forward, and we have done boundary adjustments with Northern Midlands and or in the process of doing so in recent times at Travellers Rest, I think it might be a good solution to at least explore that issue going forward.
Your question is, will we look at it? I'll say yes, we'll look at it.
Thank you. And my second question relates to a very topical issue of truck stops on the highway. Current work being undertaken by the Department of State Growth, absent of any currently of any permit seeking process on their behalf. My understanding is they believe they are exempt from the planning scheme and just getting on with what is a very significant development, with another one proposed not far away on the westbound lane. So if management would have any information as to where we're at and where it's headed and the ramifications of what's going on and in no small measure at the very least term council being an advocate for their community.
Yep, thanks for your question.
So we, as a council, we approached the Department of State Growth recently and asked them for some, I guess, a greater level of detail around their project, because it is a state government project on a state government road. And it was good that they came back to us and arranged a meeting which was had with the Acting General Manager and Director of Development and Regulatory Services last week, so perhaps an update from Krista.
Thank you, General Manager. Yes, we did have a meeting with State Growth about the roadworks that's currently occurring. They have informed us that they have done an acquisition and that area of road has been associated with the road reserve now. We're waiting on some further details from them to confirm that. If that is the case, that it's worked within the road reserve, then yes, it is exempt from requiring a permit. So it's something that we're following up with State Growth at the moment.
Do we have an idea of when they'll be getting back to us in relation to that? I might add in that they're now saying it's within the road reserve, but that triggers an exemption under the planning scheme as an upgrade. Has anyone independently actually examined whether it qualifies as an upgrade, or are they just telling us it's an upgrade because there's an alternate view that it's additional work adjacent to the road and may not be, in fact, an upgrade at all?
Planners have had a look at it. So while it's not independent, planners have had a look and believe that it would be exempt if it is within the road reserve. So the State Growth are going to get back to Acting Director at the time, Craig, and unfortunately he's on leave until Thursday, so I'll be following up with him on Thursday.
Very good. Thanks, Chris. Any other questions, councillors? No. Councillor notices the motion. There's no notice of the motion was received on the floor. For this meeting, are there any from the floor? Okay, we move along then. So, in planning matters, council acts as the planning authority on Land Use Planning and Approvals Act 1993. In the agenda items in this section, council and acting as a planning authority will be referred to as the planning authority. So on page 16, we have agenda item 13.1. Do we have anybody to talk on this? No representatives? Any representatives to talk? No? All right. Somebody like to move? Somebody like to second? Councillor Loader has a mover. Thank you. Seconder. Councillor Cameron, thank you. Councillor Loader has a mover motion.
Thank you, Mayor. Before I say anything about this, could we have an update on where this sits with the West Tamar Council, please?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. My understanding is that West Tamar has received a planning application for their portion of the proposal. It has gone through public advertising. I understand that they are preparing a report to take to their council meeting as well. My understanding is that that council meeting will occur after this one, so they're effectively waiting for Meander Valley Council to make a determination first.
Thanks, Thomas.
Thank you. So we've been talking about this for a while. as in it's been advertised and it's been out in the community, and there's generally support in the Blackstone Heights community. There's been numerous posts on their social media, attending the Blackstone Heights community news group. There's been support there. Since one of the first times that I ever went to Blackstone Heights in my capacity as councillor, the community have been wanting some kind of jetty to make that area more accessible. And while this is not a jetty, it will put in some infrastructure that will make this area a lot more accessible. And yes, canoe polo is a niche sport, but on Saturday afternoon, I went for a really big walk around the area, and there are canoes in people's backyards all over the place. So I can see that the community would be using that area. I know that car parking space was an issue. So I'm a member of the Launceston Running Club, and we have had runs there in the past with up to about 70 runners and associated cars, and the car parking has coped with that volume of people. So I've experienced it, and while it is busy, it's not over the top, and I believe the area will be able to cope with it from my lived experience of that matter. The other thing is, I note that there are a lot of trees that are going to be cleared, and most of those trees are either willows or wattles. Now, on Saturday after the weather event, there were so many snapped trees. It was, I would not want have wanted to be walking down there when the wind was blowing. So to me, and, you know, I'm probably a bit of a tree hugger, and I like to look after the environment, but the trees that are slated for removal are very appropriate. And I honestly think that this will open up that area and bring a little bit of life to that area. So I'm fully supportive. I note that it's only going, the slalom and polo are only going to happen in daylight hours. My only hope is that the Canoe Polo Club will engage with the community and let them know what's going on. There's so many ways to engage with the Blackstone Heights community. It's a really nice physical area, and it's a really nice bunch of people. So I'm fully supportive of this. I think it's like a win-win for the people who love to do crazy things in boats, as well as the community.
Thanks, Councillor Lally. Councillor Cameron, second on the motion. You might have to try your neighbouring councillors.
Oh, no, here we go. Oh, yeah. Thank you. So just to confirm, the part that Meander Valley Council is assessing is what happens on the land, and West Tono Council do the water part?
That's correct.
Thank you. And the bit that we that triggers for us is around the car parking, which you've assessed it can accommodate. So I agree with what Councillor Loder said. It is a really beautiful space, and I'm not sure it's used as much as it should be, because it, every time I've been, it's been quite quiet. So I am looking forward to seeing it being used to its full potential. So I'm happy to support it.
Thanks, Councillor. Open up for discussion, councillors. That's Sinfield.
Yes, I don't really have a problem with this whatsoever. Just the comment I'd make is that representatives were concerned that it would bring more people in from outside, but I respectfully suggest that it also will encourage local people, so as Council Loder has mentioned, and people in the area with canoes and whatever themselves. It's another activity for the local community to get in, and I think be proud of and encourage local use in that activity, as well as the other activities that go on in the area. So I think it's going to be a plus for the local people.
Thanks, Councillor. Any other discussion, councillors? Comments? Questions? Councillor Stepple.
The paper calls it Blackstone Water Paddle Sports Park. I'm just wondering, is that a name that we're taking on in some form, or would there be signage for that? I find it confusing that a park to me is dry land. I don't know if it can be water area. So the paddle sports, can they actually happen on dry on park? It's just being pedantic, I suppose, but I'm confused.
My understanding is that this is the name that's been put forward by the Tame Canoe Club for this particular project. Correct me if I'm wrong.
It's a bit awkward with the microphones.
Swing around, John.
Yeah, thanks. Look, if they chose to promote that themselves, yes, that would be their choice. It may be a bit confusing. All of our signage is Blackstone Park, and that's what we will be retaining as the way that we refer to that area. But it's public land as well, so available for everybody.
Any other questions, councillors? No, I think it's a good thing as well. I think it will open up that area. To Council Adder's point of trees, if willows and wattles, then they have a timeline that means that makes them more of a problem than they are. They're to be removed, that opens things up. To make it usable, I know when we were campaigning, we had lots of people asking council to put a jetty or a boat ramp or things like that. Maybe this is the first step to that. I'm happy to support it. So. Anything else, councillors? If not, we'll wrap up. Councillor Cameron and second. Councillor Adams and Mervyn. Okay, we'll put the motion. All those in favour, please raise your hand. That is unanimous. Thank you, councillors. The council no longer acts as a planning authority. We go on to page 167, which is development services, which is a review of policy number 11, public open space. Somebody like to move, somebody like to second, please. Cameron and Dudman, thank you. I thought Councillor Sinfield might have been going to move this one. Councillor Cameron as the mover.
I don't have a lot to add other than to say that I'm really proud of our public open space, and I've always liked to see more of it, not less. So I'm happy to support this proposal.
Thank you. Thank you. Councillor Dudman.
Yeah, look, I concur. This is really just a continuation of what we had with some minor amendments. Just scrolling through what has turned out to be a large policy. The minor amendments, of course, being on page 183 there, which really just clarify those percentages better when we are taking contributions for those open spaces. But I'm sure Councillor Sinfield, although he didn't move it, would like to speak to this as well. I certainly hope you would.
No pressure. Councillor Sinfield, put his light on.
I have my light. Thank you, Chair. Yes, it addresses some previous confusion with the wording as to how and the extent of contributions made by people in respect to various zones, and this is an attempt to rectify the previous confusion or shortcomings that existed. So it's a good thing.
And
hopefully in the practical application it will sort those issues out.
Thank you, Mayor. Yes, I'm totally in agreement with this. It really clarifies what should happen. Public open space, as Deputy Mayor said, is just so very vital as we continue to see our areas grow and expand. People need that space to go and have recreation and green and trees. So, yes, I fully support this and appreciate the clarifications.
Okay. Thank you. Any other discussion, councillors? No. Councillor Dunman, anything to add? Councillor Cameron? No. Okay, put the motion. All those in favour, please raise your hand. That is unanimous. Thank you. Corporate Services, page 186. Agenda item 15.1. Somebody like to move? Somebody like to second? Councillor Dunman, thank you. Second up. Councillor Cameron, thank you. Councillor Dudman has moved the motion.
Thank you, Mayor. I don't think there ought to be a lot of discussion on this. It's simply noting a receipt of the audit panel meeting minutes. But I will add that, obviously, with the audit panel, there is quite a large amount of work that goes into this. It's always been a pleasure to serve on the audit committee since I first was elected to council alongside Councillor Temple at the moment. And, of course, thank the staff for the work that they put into this to ensure that we are meeting our legislative requirements and operating in a safe and financially stable way.
Thanks, Councillor. Councillor Dunn. Okay, Councillor Cameron.
Look, I agree with Councillor Dudman, but also to thank him and Councillor Temple for their attendance at these meetings, because they are very important. So I'd just like to let them know that I appreciate the extra effort they put into attending these.
Thank you. I'm up for discussion, councillors. Any discussion? Any comments? No? All right. Anything to add, Councillor Cameron or Dudman? No? Put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
That's unanimous. Thank you. Page 200, agenda item 15.2, which is the financial statements. Somebody like to move? Somebody like to second, please? Councillor Dudman, thank you. Seconder, please. Councillor Cameron, thank you. Councillor Dudman.
Thank you, everyone. Scan writing.
in part to the previous item, I think this just shows, well, we're just noting it and receiving it, that we are in a strong financial position, and as dry as audit reports can be, it shows that we are operating as well as we can be too, which is a good sign.
Councillor Cameron.
I think maybe a dry and boring audit report is a very good thing, so I appreciate that. But yes, just to agree with Councillor Dudman, appreciate the work that's gone into this.
I have enough for discussions, councillors. We have a staff member at the table waiting for a question.
You do this every time.
No, but no one would ask a question. Right, anyway, councillors, Councillor Field.
Does the staff member at the end of the table have anything to contribute?
Narelle Beer, Acting Director of Corporate Services, through you, Mr Mayor. I think it's just probably reflective of a pretty robust financial process. So.
Thank you, and you'll be able to go back to Justin and tell him that you actually answered the question. Because that's the question. Thank you for that. Okay, anything to add, councillors? If not, Councillor Cameron, anything? Councillor Dudman? Put the motion on those in favour, please. I always am. Thank you. Unanimous. Thank you, Narelle. Page 15 is agenda item 15.3. I think you've got one more, haven't you?
One more.
Somebody like to move, somebody like to second. Councillor Dudman, thank you. Second, Councillor Smedley, thank you. Councillor Dudman.
Thank you, Mayor. Once again, it shows that most of our projects are progressing well. I only have one question, which I've now lost. On page 216, the Emu Bay Road Deloraine intersection pedestrian crossing had a bit of a budget overrun of 65.72%. I was just wondering if we could have an explanation of why that cost increase occurred. Otherwise, I think we are very much in line with our budget amendments.
Yes, that might be wonderful. Matthew.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I was quite happy for the acting director to respond to that one if she liked. But, look, we'll be coming back to council with an adjustment. We did an adjustment, I think, on that line item earlier in the year, and we made an error. So that has actually been, that available budget has been actually reduced over the course of an earlier adjustment. So there needs to be just be, within the program, we'll propose a further adjustment at a future council meeting to align the current spending and the predicted spend with a budget amount.
Thank you. Anything else, Councillor Dudman? No, Councillor Smedley is the second on the motion. No, I'm not for discussion, Councillor. Councillor Cameron.
Sorry, I keep jumping the queue. Thank you. I did have to highlight Alison Drive public toilets. They have only gone over budget by a little smidge, but I just wanted to check why I had you. Are they open yet? And if they aren't, will they be in time for the craft fair?
It's my understanding that we've been waiting in recent weeks for TAS Networks to connect the power. I believe that's occurred in recent days. I also understand that there are a few minor items with the build that still just need to be finished before we'll open. But it's very close. I would hope that we potentially are aiming for craft fair November long weekend, but I'm probably not able to guarantee that at this point.
Thank you, Matthew. Any other discussion, councillors, questions? If not, anything to add, Councillor Smedley or Dudman? Nope. Put the motion on those in favour, please. I'll raise your hand. That is unanimous again. Thank you. Governance and Community Wellbeing, page 228. Would like to move, so would like a second. Councillor Loader, thank you. Seconder. Excuse me, Councillor Cameron. Councillor Loader, isn't it?
Thank you, Mayor. Yes, this is a really good overview of what the council has been up to. Often we hear people say, what's council been doing? This is showing exactly what targets have been met and what quarter is supposed to be, things are supposed to be happening. 232 of the agenda mentions how the structure plans are going and existing plans, which I think a number of our communities would be interested in, Carrick and Prospect Vale, Blackstone Heights and Westbury. But there is an item on the end of that page, 232, about the review of the Meander Valley Council local provision schedule and it's been deferred. Is there a reason for that?
Thank you for the question, Councillor.
Sorry.
That's okay.
Getting steps on.
Thank you for your question, Councillor Ladder, through you, Mr. Mayor. We're waiting, as we were one of the first councils to adopt the new Tasmanian planning scheme, we're one of the first councils that now need to review our LPS. So we're waiting for direction from the planning office as to what that review needs to involve.
Thank you. Any other, where are we? Councillor Cameron, as a seconder.
No, I'm very happy with the way it's progressing, and I do think, yeah, there's a lot there. It shows exactly what our, what happens behind the scenes. It's a huge amount of work, and it all seems to be progressing quite well. So thank you to everybody involved in making sure that happens. But, yeah, it's not a little amount of work by any means, so well done to everybody for working so hard on it consistently.
Thanks, Councillor Cameron. Any other discussion, councillors? Take that as no. Anything to add, Councillor Cameron or Loader? No. Put the motion in. All those in favour, please raise your hand. That is unanimous again. Thank you. Moving on to page 242, agenda item 16.2, new council brands. Would we like to move? Somebody like to second? Councillor Dudman, thank you. Second, Councillor Loader, thank you. Councillor Dudman.
Thank you, Mayor. Look, I'm very happy to move this and excited about bringing the Meander Valley Council's logo in line with the place branding that we adopted, sorry, I'm having some computer problems, last year. I think it is a modern logo that obviously we have invested in to ensure that we are a modern council and is tying in with the work that we've done and what I know has been already appreciated by the local community and businesses with our place branding. I think it's important to note the change to the logo, and I am anticipating some interesting comments to be made about lines and their symbolism to red tape or to barbed wire or whatnot. My understanding, and correct me if I'm wrong, those lines relate to the topographical lines of the Meander Valley, which I think is a very good symbol of our place in Tasmania, and I think that with time, if you don't like the logo now, you will certainly warm to it. I don't need to warm to it. I think it is a good step forward for us, so I'm happy to commend this.
Councillor Dudman, Councillor Ladder.
Thank you, Mayor, and thank you, Councillor Dudman. I concur. I think this is a natural follow-on from the place brand work that's been done. It's nice and clear and simple. It's got a simple colour palette from an adult literacy point of view. It's really easy to read. It'll be really easy and recognisable. And it's, as I said, it's a logical progression that we now have a council brand that will align with the work that's been done for our region. So thank you. I am anticipating that some people will not be happy, but I think it's fabulous and I will go into bat for it.
Thank you, Councillor. Councillor Cameron.
Yes, I agree. I love it. And I love seeing the new logos and the place branding and the colours, and I love seeing it all. And I guess it took me a little bit to get used to, and I think maybe it will a little bit in the community, but there has been a lot of thought go into it, and I get excited when I see it, so I'm really proud of it, and I can't wait to see it everywhere, so thank you for all of your hard work on it.
Councillor Cronshaw, yeah. With your microphone, please.
Right.
Go again.
Okay.
Yep.
I'm on them. This design, it won me when I actually saw it on the building. To me, it looks professional and it really looks good. It stands out and I think it looks really appropriate for me and the Valley Council.
Thank you. Councillors, Councillor Simpson.
Yes, with hesitancy, I take the opposite tack.
whilst I appreciate that the whether the comments about tied in knots or the barbed wire, I do appreciate the fact that somebody's borrowed this branding scheme from the upholstery on the inside of my car, which is parked outside. It does leave me underwhelmed, sadly. I would have
your car then.
I would have, yep, I'll pass the hat around later. I would have appreciated that the wording were more consistent and without the knots, the string attached, I might have supported it. So I wait to see how it is seen going forward, because I suspect it will get support. So I'll abstain in relation to this matter on this day. We'll see how it does go in the real world. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor.
Any other discussion, Councillors?
Right.
I guess from my point of view, we need a refresh. Here it is. The Meander Valley Council logo is on the screen as it is. Been proud to be mayor of the Meander Valley Council, still proud to be mayor. I really liked the first one that is actually the Meander Valley. It's pretty bad to keep that for our council and let the valley come up with something else, but it's been used far and wide, and it is a label of Meander Valley, and it is really good. The new one, yeah, it's got a few squiggly lines. I probably dare claims is right in the middle of the crosshairs there, well, perhaps if you look hard enough, but... no, it's a refresh, it's something that we need to do, and it's a brand that we need to be able to use. It's a brand that we should be proud of. So, well done to those that are involved. Thank you. Councillor Lowder.
Thank you, Mayor. Yes, am I wrapping up now?
I think so, yeah.
So, just if anyone wants to know what it looks like, they can get onto page 242 on the agenda that's published on the Council's website for October, the agenda for October. And they will know what we're talking about. I think it's really good, and I think it is time for change.
Thank you. Councillor Dunman, anything to add? Cool. Okay, put the motion. All those in favour, please raise your hand. That is Johnston, Cameron, Cronshaw, Dunman, Smedley, Loader. Against? Councillor Temple. You're abstaining, Councillor. Vote in the negative, you realise. Okay. Councillor Temple and Cynthia against. Thank you. Page 257. So, agenda item 16.3, mini grant sponsorship. Obviously, we've had some declarations of interest, so those councillors have stepped out. Somebody like to make, somebody like to second. Mr. Smedley, thank you. Seconder, Loader, I'll just speak, Councillor Cronshaw.
Oh, I don't mind.
Councillor Smedley, as the member of the motion, anything you add?
I'm right.
Thank you. Councillor Loader, as the seconder.
Thank you, Mayor. Yes, we had a wonderful meeting just recently of the Grants Committee. Councillor House was there, and myself and staff, and it was a good meeting. It was very robust, I feel. I always use that word robust, but it was. There were many applicants, and you can see there on the agenda all the applicants, and each and everyone was seriously discussed and weighed up against our wonderful newish grant guidelines. I really do appreciate the community wellbeing staff and the way that they help guide the discussion and keep us on track, because obviously we would like to support everyone, but we need to make sure that we're spending our ratepayers' money in an appropriate way. And I feel that given the pretty huge number of applicants that we had to assess, we've managed to spend some money this round in an appropriate way where people are supported. There's a couple there that are not supported, and there are some notes in and around why they're not, and with some advice to move forward maybe for future rounds. But I'm really, and also just one final thing, how awesome is it to always be supporting sports people going off to play various sports around the nation and the state who come from our valley.
Thank you, Councillor. That's correct in everything you've said. I do need to highlight a little typo on page 260. Excuse me. It says that $42,000 was allocated to applicants in round one, leaving $107,000 remaining for rounds three and four. It should be for rounds two, three and four. So $150,000 was allocated for 12 months. Anything to add, councillors? Councillor Smedley.
Just to wrap up.
Thank you.
Thanks for the opportunity to speak to this one. It is very positive to see so many young people in Meander Valley doing well at national or state level and being representing the community at large, and also great to see the amount of projects where the proponents are significantly contributing to those as well. That's really great. Co-contributions are always a really positive way to develop the community as well. Thank you.
All right, councillor, put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye. Open hand. That is unanimous. Thank you. Bring my councillors back in.
You don't have to stand for this one.
Oh, you're okay. That's what I forgot about.
Leave.
I thought you just stand and it was a steal. Well, we lost it. I got a copy of that. Okay, page 264, general item 16.4, tenders, national, local roads, transport, and infrastructure congress. Somebody like to move, somebody like to second, please. Councillor Loader, thank you. Seconder, Councillor Cameron. Cool. Councillor Loader, may I have a motion?
Thank you, Mayor. I am a huge supporter of professional development. If people can go and learn and bring what they learn back here to us, and therefore we can be the best council we can be by learning, then that's a good thing. And it's often by rubbing shoulders with people from other places that we can see what's working well for them and maybe bring it home here. So I'm fully supportive of professional development. I attended that webinar on Thursday last week, and I will shamelessly take up any form of professional development that I can, because no one is ever an expert. There's always something that you can learn. So I'm fully supportive of this.
Thank you. Councillor Cameron?
I agree. I really supportive of anybody that wants to take on professional development opportunities. I appreciate this one is a little bit further away and harder to get to than some others, and I'm happy to support it. I think Councillor Simfield's got a lot of interest in these kind of events and training conferences, and as Councillor Loader said, as long as he brings that back and shares it with the rest of us, then I'm very happy to support it.
Good. Councillor Temple.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I too support this, and I note our current process where people write a report on their return. And then I'm just wondering what happens to the report then. Do we just file it, or is it reviewed later, or how do we actually make sure that we as the council as a whole, not just the individual, derive benefits from it? I perhaps am asking, should it go to a workshop that we consider further downstream processes subsequent to the conferences?
Now, you know, Councillor Temple, that since Councillor Simfield went to the one in West Australia, he spoke every day for 3 months after that on how good the conference was. Now, in all seriousness, it's a serious question, and we would hope that people that go to further themselves do come back and actually put what they've heard and learned into action. To your point,
do we review it?
I guess that's an operational situation, but I guess it's also it's councillor to us councillors as well. So, as far as staff goes, Jim?
No, just for the councillors. In accordance with the council policy that covers this, Councillor Temple, any interstate workshop and conferences are required to have a written report provided back, and they are shared with councillors in the weekly correspondence. And yep, some have been discussed at workshop as well. So you're right, there's an intention there around shared learning within the team, and that's the way that it's achieved.
Thank you, Jim. It would be really good to see some staff members probably go to some of these at some stage. I'm sure that's been talked about. I think the staff would also get a lot of this, especially the local roads, transport and infrastructure congress, because Councillor Simfield was certainly talks highly of the one he went to last year. So, anything else to add, councillors? As a wrap up, Councillor Cameron, you second it. Councillor Lowe has moved. All right, put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye. That's unanimous. Thank you. And, okay, we move on to the motion to close the meeting to the public. Somebody like to move, somebody like to second, please. Councillor Cameron and Loda. Just let me write it down. All those in favour, please say aye. Right hand. That is unanimous. Thank you. Thanks in the gallery. We are. Thanks for your attendance. And live streaming and recordings off.